Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows throughout each month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez, and she alternates weeks in English and Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun discussion show on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Wednesday features nature spirituality with none others than Selena Fox. For some magic, then you'll want to tune in on Thursday for Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. We have such a fun and informative lineup of shows, and we hope at Circle Sanctuary that you try them all. Each spoke on the Wheel of the Year represents an opportunity for transformation. The book, The Noble Art from Shadow to Essence, through the Wheel of the Year, provides alchemical, spiritual, and psychological tools for reclaiming your essence through the stages and seasons of life. This book also provides meditations, inner workings, and rituals that invite you to drop into the inner landscape of your unconscious and restore your light. The Noble Art, published by Llewellyn, also offers recommendations for stones, chakras, and affirmations that deepen your healing work and further supports the transmutation of shadow into light. We're going to be discussing this book with its author, Tiffany Lazick. Tiffany is a spiritual psychotherapist with nearly 20 years of experience in transpersonal psychology. She trained at the Transformational Arts College of Spiritual and Holistic Training, where she also teaches. Tiffany is an international presenter, keynote speaker, and retreat facilitator. She has conducted workshops for many conferences and organizations in Canada, where she lives, the U.S., Mexico, India, and the U.K. She is one of the co-creators and co-organizers of Kitchener Spark Symposium. Tiffany is the owner of the Hyde and Grove Center for Holistic Wellness, individual, group, and couple therapy. She's also developed two highly regarded self-development programs. Tiffany is the author of the great work, Self-Knowledge and Healing Through the Wheel of the Year, published by Llewellyn in 2015, and her latest book, The Noble Art from Shadow to Essence Through the Wheel of the Year, published also by Llewellyn. In her professional capacities, Tiffany is inspired by two ancient axioms, Know Thyself and Carpe Diem, seeing the healing journey as addressing those elements, aspects, and experiences and beliefs that stop one from living fully. If you'd like more information, please visit Tiffany at her website at www.hiveandgrove.ca. That's hiveandgrove.ca. You can also purchase her books going to the Llewellyn website at www.llewellyn.com. Let's welcome Tiffany to Circle Talk. Welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you. Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, well, I'm very excited. I have a copy of Tiffany's book, and I am in the process of reading it. I'm almost done. It's an excellent book. And I have to say something off topic, which has nothing to do with the contents, which are wonderful, and we're going to talk about. But it's a really pretty book. I have a friend who tends to buy her spiritual books if they look good on her bookshelf, and she will definitely be buying your book. It's a really, really beautiful book. The cover is very, very nice.
Thank you so much. Yes, I do feel that. In truth, I kind of feel it about both of them. I love the cover of The Great Work, and I was like, oh, I just want to live in this space. And then when The Noble Art came out, I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's so pretty.
And I did a little research. Besides being the author of two books, you're a pretty prolific writer. You've written for magazines and other publications?
I have, yes. Yeah. Almanacs there's In the Name of the Goddess or Naming the Goddess, a couple of the Moon books, anthologies. So yeah, little contributions in other places.
Absolutely. Have you always written?
I've always dabbled, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I never sort of considered myself a writer or an author. It's one of those things where I often talk about being an accidental something, you know, like
mm-hmm.
I accidentally kind of started a magazine because I
mm-hmm.
wanted to bring some people together.
Mm-hmm.
And the book was sort of like that as well. There was something that felt important that needed to kind of come through. I wasn't setting out to write, so to speak.
Well, you did a really good job. Where did you get the inspiration from the noble art from?
So the title The Noble Art actually is a continuation, or I guess a natural extension. I'm sorry, I don't know if you can hear that, but apparently there's two dogs playing ball right above my head.
Oh, no,
so there might be a little bit of background. Yeah, it's playtime. But the noble art, well, I guess the first book, The Great Work, you know, that title, The Great Work, is as a reference to the great work of alchemy, right? The great work mm-hmm. of the transformation of, you know, lead into gold and matter into spirit. And the noble art is the extension of that. It's almost that the great work is the work we're doing, and the art is the craft of how we approach it and the techniques that we
mm-hmm.
apply to that. And so the two sort of unfold together, but both of them are, you know, a nod in the direction of the, you know, spiritual science of alchemy and that beautiful science of transformation and transmutation.
Tell our listeners kind of a synopsis. I shared with Tiffany before the show that when I read this book, there's a lot of books, I think, for beginner practitioners and kind of the what is type books. And I felt like this book was really good next step because it's not something you just sit down and you read really quickly. It caused me to think, and there's things that you need to do in here. And it's a book that you go back to and that it allows you to dwell deeply, which I don't know that a lot of books do. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I guess it's partly informed, or to a large part, informed by, I guess, what called me to write the books in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that sense of, well, first of all, when, you know, just as I was sort of starting my practice as a spiritual psychotherapist was really when I was starting to walk my own spiritual path of on the pagan path.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found it so interesting that in my day, I'd be in the office, I'd be, you know, listening to people's stories and listening to their experiences and what they were going through and what they were sorting through. And and then I would sort of go out into nature and you know, connect with the nature spirituality and started to realize that the two were really informing each other. Right, the things that I was seeing around me in nature were the things that I was hearing about in a different form in my office. So, you know, the thaw that's coming in, but oh, we've got another snowstorm, but then it's going to thaw. So there's sort of that excitement,
right.
And then the oh my gosh, are you kidding me with this other snowstorm? And
exactly.
And the feelings that come up in that, and you hear that, and oh, I'm really excited about this new job, but now I'm really discouraged about this thing that happened, and it's that sort of same energy. So I started
right.
to realize that there was not a separation between what we're experiencing and seeing in nature and what we are experiencing in ourselves, except that we're sort of holding ourselves separate from that. And I do, you know, talk about a Joseph Campbell quote where he talks about, you know, how if we hold the image outside of ourselves, then we've misread that image. And so the other part of that I think comes to the fore even more so in the second book, in The Noble Art,
mm-hmm.
is just so strongly that I just have such a sense that I hear how so many people love nature, right? Like that there's mm-hmm. just that connection. I love the trees. I love walking in nature. I love connecting with the earth. And yet when we talk about ourselves, oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, what an idiot. Oh, how could I be?
Absolutely.
And how are we separate from that, right? And so it was just being able to start to draw these connections that we are not separate from nature. And there can be some things like, you know, that I may not love the snowstorm, but I'm not wronging it. I'm not
right.
shaming it. I'm not judging it. And so how can I start to put myself into that right relationship as well?
That's really, really interesting. I'm just curious. I know that you said you were a little older. How did you come about? So you did not grow up pagan.
Well, I guess strictly speaking, I grew up Unitarian.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, then you were close. I'm Unitarian now.
I was pretty close.
Yeah.
So I'm just drinking my tea as well. My parents were a lot older. My parents had me when they were in their mid-40s. And interestingly, they had kind of gone through their own spiritual crisis with sort of traditional.
Uh-huh.
So they'd right. moved over to the Unitarian Church in the 60s. But they were
uh-huh.
also classics teachers. They taught Latin and Greek and ancient history. And so, like, interestingly, though I guess I was raised Unitarian, if I was raised anything, I knew the mythology. My parents
right.
talked the mythology. And so, you know, I would walk to school. I had, you know, Artemis and Athena as, like, you know, my
right.
imaginary friends. I was walking to school.
Right.
So that informed as well, like when you're starting to hear those stories and again, sort of recognizing that the energies of the stories, which are connected with the times of the year and that they all have something to reflect and teach us about ourselves as well.
So you've referenced several times that I'm going to be buying it. Tell us the difference in focus or approach between your book, your first book and your second book. Should we invite the readers to read your first book first?
I don't know that necessarily that it needs to be read first, because there's some references to
okay.
some of the concepts in the second one. So
mm-hmm.
they both do stand alone and separate. What
mm-hmm.
I do find is that, you know, you can read The Great Work on its own, or you can go into The Noble Art on its own.
Right.
If you read the two of them, you're very definitely seeing that there's cross-referencing, but it's like one is a tone and the other is an overtone. Like it really deepens and informs each other.
Mm-hmm.
The way that, you know, when I set out to write The Great Work, I was intending to write a single book.
Uh-huh.
And with that idea of going through the eight spokes of the Wheel of the Year,
right.
capturing the sort of core, mythological theme, what is that, the archetypal
uh-huh.
theme, what is the nugget that we're sort of gleaning from learning from that particular spoke of the wheel, and then reflecting that through eight different lenses so that we really can get a sense of what's going on in that time of year. So looking at it from the active reflection, what do I do? So the cycle we've just gone through, starting at Yule, I mean, it's ending
uh-huh.
tonight. We're going to do the ritual at
yes.
Imbolc. But, you know, Yule is the birth of the sun, and we can see that as the
uh-huh.
birth of the wonder child, which is reflected in the infant child, you know, the
right.
that part of the spark of divine that comes is born into the world. And so there's something that's very you know, it's very much about the root chakra and that connection with tribe and my place in the tribe. And the root chakra has alignments and correspondences with earth. And so there's like, these are all the different ways that we can access and explore and experience that particular time of year. And in doing that, we're really exploring all of these things within ourselves. So the great work I see is being sort of laying out all of those different aspects and elements. So I talk about the great work as being almost like this beautiful array of ingredients, right? That, uh-huh. that there's a great feast that can be made out of all of these ingredients, but they are not the feast itself. The noble art, which is the craft of it, is right. how to turn all of these ingredients into something which is a nourishing, sumptuous feast.
Tell us about, as you said, tonight the wheel turns and we're entering Imbolc. Tell us about this cycle. What can we expect coming up?
So part of what you know, that movement from the birth of the divine child, the wonder child, the return of the light, the return of the sun, the return of the hope, there shifts into, matures a little bit, sort of grows into what I call cycle two. It's the reference to the gifts of the inner child. So I see the movement from sort of that sort of body, earthy, grounded Yule cycle into the more flow and the water and the emotions that are that reflect the reflection of the inner child, the preschool child, the part of us okay. that reflects that emotional life. And is, you know, I was talking before about, and it doesn't necessarily reflect exactly this way in all parts of the world, but I think there's right. ways in which there's a commonality. So here where I am, and I know where you are as well, like it really is. Like we've had a thaw and we had a snowstorm. And
right.
everybody had to, it took all day to dig out, and then it started to warm up a little bit, and there's, oh, okay, yeah, it's not quite so cold, and we're starting to feel a little bit happy, and the sun feels a little bit warmer, and now we're going to have 2 days of snow again, and everybody gets a little grouchy, right? Everything's a little bit harder, and so I remember one year, and it was after the Great Work came out, I remember one year just, you know, kind of scrolling through Facebook and thinking like, oh my gosh, there is like so much emotion happening. People are really upset. There's like, and I thought, right, because we're in this time of year, like that mm-hmm. emotions tend to be a little acute in February. They talk about the February blues. There can be a lot of depression. What is it? The mm-hmm. second Tuesday in February is like Blue Tuesday. Because mm-hmm. it's the most, like, it's all emotional energy. And so what I find is that this time of year is really teaching us about how to flow in this sense of equilibrium. Sometimes things are going to flow easily. Sometimes things are going to be really hard. Sometimes it's going to be totally frozen. And how can we allow ourselves to find some type of equilibrium, you know, in that. And so, you know, then when you look at some of the mythological reflections of that, the goddesses like Breed, Bridget, you know, the goddess mm-hmm. of healing, which again is, you know, all the watery energy with that, you know, Valentine's Day and you know, say Aphrodite or Venus, that how do we allow for that sort of gentleness and that love and that heart, even though things can be a little bit hard, where we aren't landed into what feels like the awakening of spring. There's still some tendrils of winter that make things a little challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same way that we would approach, you know, through this, what I call the developmental reflection, if we're looking mm-hmm. at the alignment of that inner child, that preschool child, that one who's like curious and kind of making those little forays out into the world to explore, the same way that we would approach that child with, you know, loving the enthusiasm and the excitement and yet still, you know, having the care and the caution.
Right.
We would want to bring that same level of care and caution to ourselves.
So is that what you mean by the intersection between the seasonal cycles and psychology?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Talk a little
Absolutely.
Bit about that, because that is a theme that flows throughout the book. And I,
mm-hmm.
again, I don't know that everyone always correlates those together. And you've done a really good job of explaining that throughout the turning of the wheel.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. I think it's so grounded in sort of that approach of spiritual psychotherapy and the transpersonal psychology that that was sort of the basis of well, sort of my training and my work. And to see that, you know, we do go through seasons in our own life. Like that was very much the way, not even in our life. I, you know, see it in my office. I can see when people come in and they're in the winter of their experience. You know, there can be intense emotions and a lot of despair and distraught. And through the course of an hour, you can see how you sort of move from the winter to the spring. There's little inklings, there's little insights to some flourishing, to revelations. And, you know, hopefully by the end of the session, it's like, wow, right. There's a harvest that has happened. You know, there's wisdom that has been gleaned. So to be able to, you know, similarly to what I was saying before, we can see the cycle of the seasons and see the beauty of the cycle of the seasons and the necessity for the cycle of the seasons. I don't know how many times I've said to clients, is like, we don't plant a seed and then expect that the next day we're going to be picking the apple.
Why are we
expecting that with ourselves?
Right,
exactly. Right, right. So it's just sort of putting ourselves into that alignment, and also that, you know, I have to plant the seed. I have to, you know, water the seed, nurture the seed, you know, sort of cultivate and care for the ground around it in
mm-hmm.
order for it to reap the harvest. And again, there's, I think sometimes it feels that taking this alignment of psychology and our connection with nature, the seasonal approach,
right.
may help to counteract some of what I think is unrealistic messaging that we get from media or social media, you know, like the instant
Absolutely.
Gratifications and
Absolutely.
And the more is better and all of that. And when we look to nature and see how nature thrives and put ourselves in alignment with that, then we also can thrive.
Absolutely. People want Instagram lives and they're not real. Even for people who post
right.
on Instagram, those things simply aren't
right.
real.
Right.
So, yeah. And many of us, I mean, many people judge ourselves against those images that aren't real to begin with and are unattainable.
Right.
So define for us shadow and essence, and how does that interplay reflect with the seasons?
Well, it's so interesting because I was actually just about to comment on that as well, which is when you're talking about, you know, the Instagram, not perhaps everything that's on there, but a lot of what's presented as not being
right.
real. And I think there's another sort of aspect which I find so interesting, which is when I'm out in nature, I don't mind getting my hands dirty, right? I don't mind mm-hmm. putting my hands in the dirt and the muck and getting the dirt under the fingernails.
Right.
But will I show the dirty fingernails on Instagram, right?
No. Yeah, absolutely.
And so again, it comes to that place of that it's where we are placing the judgments, you know, where we are saying that this is an image which is good and this is an image that is undesirable, and
mm-hmm.
instead allowing to have that that recognition of the value of the whole of it. I talk a lot about shame. I bring shadow into it, and shadow certainly, we talk from shadow and essence through the wheel of the year. But it's not actually even so much the shadow part of it, because we all have shadow. Shadow is a part of, you know, it's the definition of being human, right? That there's something of me that is limited, and it's defined, and it has an edge, and I know my light because I see my shadow. Like it helps to see that delineation. It's not the shadow so much which is the issue. It's the shame which is the issue. It's where we bring the judgment into it. So we see the play of shadow and light, or shadow and essence, I think, through the two halves of the wheel of the year. We see the dark half of the year, and there's a value to that. We need the dark half of the year. We have the light half of the year, and that's, you know, we get a lot of joy out of that. And so to be able to see, so again, I can have my Instagram, sort of, I won't vilify, but I can have that everything put together and sort of look, but I can also equally appreciate the dirt under the fingernails work. So digging in the earth, as well as allowing for this expansion and this wonderful gaze. But the thing that becomes the issue is the shame, where judgment on one of those, you know, that which is the dark, that which is uncomfortable, that which is a bit messy, when I put judgment to that. So a lot of the noble art, I start off in the introduction basically just saying, like, this is what shame, this is how shame shows up in our lives. And and to come to a place of wholeness, to come to a place where we really honor and celebrate the whole of who we are, our winter and our summer, our Samhain and our Beltane, like the whole of who we are, who I am individually, who I am when I'm dancing in partnership, then I have to look at the shame that tells me that there's something wrong with me, that I'm unlovable, that I will be rejected, that if anybody sees the dirt under my fingernails, they will push me away. That is what needs to be addressed. And so I just find...
And that's hard. Well, I mean, that's hard to do.
It is. It is, I think, the hardest work that we will do. It is what I see shame as being epidemic. It's everywhere. It shows up every day in my office, every day. And as hard as that work is, I think it is such valuable work, because it brings us to a place where, you know, we truly are in harmony with ourselves. And and I see so much of how we, I don't want to necessarily use the word strive, because I don't mean it to be that it's a forced effort, but such enthusiasm for harmonizing with nature. You know, that there's so much joy and love for that. And again, we don't always include ourselves in that picture.
Right.
Yeah. So where I take heart is that because we are able to have such enthusiasm, let me finish the sentence. I don't know if it's evident, but I'm a Gemini. So I can sometimes start like five sentences at once, and eventually I'll finish them all. But where I find hope is that because there is that enthusiasm for connecting with nature, and, you know, and the love of that, if I know how to do it there, it's not that hard to turn the mirror and reflect it within, and apply those same techniques to be able to find that harmony and love for self. So I definitely take heart with that. I also find I've been leading these Om meditations on Sundays. that are just, you know, with the connecting with the trees and using the Celtic Om. And and I used to do it where I would follow it through the way that it shows up in the Om. So we would start with the first tree with Beth, and we would, you know, work our way all the way through the 20 or 25, depending on which version. But this time around, I started in September, I decided to just pull a tree and randomly. Oh, my gosh. It's been fascinating to see, like, even what trees follow one after the other. There's a whole story that's happening, and interesting to see how people are experiencing, like, the tree that shows up is the perfect tree to be a commentary on what they're going through in their lives. And it's different people who show up all the time to the meditation. Absolutely. It's so fascinating. But then in the last one, there was this recognition, and I certainly had it in my meditation, was a sense of, oh, wait a second. Right. It's not even so much that the trees are telling me that I am the tree.
Oh,
this
wow.
energy is in me. Mm-hmm. Like, what it's saying is what I know because I have experienced it. And so it's that level of seeing oneself as being one with nature. So the trees have wisdom. I have that wisdom. I have that within me as well.
Wow. Which brings me to a few books. Do you also lead classes and other things? Talk a little bit about your website and tell our listeners the different things they can participate in on your website.
I know,
because of COVID, it looks like you put a lot of in-person things on hold. But I know you live in Canada, correct?
Well, that's an interesting question, actually.
Okay.
Yes, I live in Canada, but I'm moving to Wales.
Oh,
and,
how fun.
I know. It's sort of been bubbling for the past couple of years. It's one of those things where it's always been a dream.
Yes, my partner and I went to go to Wales. That's on our wish list.
Oh, you'll have to come for a visit.
I know. I was
you'll have
to
come.
We would love to. Oh yeah, we've been talking about it forever. So yeah.
Oh, it's a magical, magical land. Absolutely in love with it. And then it was one of those things where just thought, you know what? Why don't we live there? You know, I think there's a certain point when, you know, things have been established, the kids are grown, and there's an opportunity to sort of shift into, you know, a different way of experiencing. And I will say that, you know, part of what we were talking about before as well, COVID kind of opened up my eyes on that, because I do have a healing center that I have not taught a class in 2 years.
Right.
Because of everything going on. And so by necessity having to, I mean, I still have it and I'll see clients there and you know, it's a lovely space. And of course we'd be moving towards opening it up again, but just realizing that there is a potential for the online made me
Absolutely.
Realize that I could be anywhere in the world and still do what it is that I do. All of my clients have moved online. It's
mm-hmm.
possible for me to, you know, maintain my practice, literally maintain my Ontario practice, my Canadian practice, no matter where I live
mm-hmm.
in the world. So there have been, and talking about rituals, doing classes online, doing rituals online, we're learning
mm-hmm.
how to connect in different ways, in ways that are still very deeply meaningful and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I am still in Canada for the next few months. But this is what's sort of interesting as well. It's not just seeing our relationship to ourselves in alignment with the cycle of the seasons. I'm beginning to see how it happens in my life. That you
it
know,
is,
so I know that we're going to be landing in Wales, like the harvest of all the work that has been done over the past little bit, is going to be, you know, July, August, by Lugnasad, it will be there. So it's like seeing how your life starts to follow these patterns. Oh, right, I'm planting some seeds today, and all right, it will come to fruition in August and September. So it's interesting.
And how synchronistic that I would just out of the blue ask you that. So
I know.
Everything is so connected. I know. I just find it so fun. So I encourage people to check out your website. Do you want to? It is highandgrove.ca. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was going to say that actually, if you go to the website www.highandgrove.ca, there's a new tab. I think it says introducing. So one of the things that I'm in transition around is moving from physical space to virtual space. So my Hive and Grove, which is slowly going to be winding down over the next couple of months, is actually transmuting into what I'm calling the Soul Alchemist Academy. So all of the courses that I have developed over the past number of years, I've coalesced into. There's three sort of tracks of courses which I'm offering. One of them is absolutely going in depth with the great work. So there's the empowerment path, which is all courses that really deepen the great work experience. And then there's the enlightenment path, which is all courses which deepen the noble art experience, including what is the in-depth, and we haven't really talked about this, but the energy healing, which again was not intentional, but when the great work kind of crafted together, it's like, wow, this is energy healing. This is ways of working with, you know, with those sort of core archetypal energies and how, again, when you position and align yourself in with the seasons, that creates an energy healing within yourself. So the honey course, which can be taken for self-development, but I also gear it towards practitioners, energy healers, who want to also enfold honey energy healing into their practices.
Let's talk about that, because we talked a little bit about, and it's spelled H-Y-N-N-I.
Right.
And it's pronounced honey. And we talked about that. It's an energetic modality, and I'm a Reiki practitioner. So talk to me about, is it similar? Is it different?
It's sort of both similar and different. I mean, it's similar in the sense that it is working with energy healing.
Right.
It's different in that, again, sort of being very, very general about it, that, you know, Reiki is an energy healing modality that was sort of downloaded on high, literally mountaintop high,
right?
As a way of working with pulling universal energy through into human experience,
right?
For healing, for the purpose of healing,
right?
And soup, like very, 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 very powerful. What I saw and experienced with Reiki is that there's a tendency towards transcendence, right? A tendency towards like mindfulness and the connecting up to these beautiful high vibrational healing energies. And I was interested in exploring the other direction.
That makes sense.
Of dropping down into the earth, right? And so I've started to, I haven't used this language really in the past, but I'm starting to almost see how in different honey and Reiki dance together. That Reiki is like this spirit download, almost this masculine energy coming down, masculine in the sense that it's formless and becomes form. And that honey is the opposite. It's the more feminine. It comes up out of the body and becomes energy. So because almost the intent behind it is the the experience of it tends to be very, very different.
Define different. Give me some examples.
So part of it is that with honey, that the person who's experiencing it is, so again, if you're going to, when I practice honey, when I have a honey session, it's not so much that I'm pulling energy through me and I'm working on your energy and we're pulling out the blocks and we're balancing out and we're using, it's that you and I are both engaged with connecting with your energy and pulling that through. So it tends to be almost more client-centered and client-involved than having the practitioner working on. There's more talking involved. You can see it that the back of the Noble Art, I present what the honey session looks like because it's practitioner and client are both entering into the energy of that particular spoke of the year. So if we were doing a honey session around, you know, this time of the year, and again, whether it's this time of the year on a calendar or whether it's like I'm going through my own sort of early spring, which might be in October, but, you know, that's where I'm at in my life, then the two of us are sort of entering into that sacred space together. We are exploring the energies of that spoke of the year together. You know, we're dialoguing together with that child within. We're calling on the water creatures to give their wisdom. And it's an exploration that both of us are engaged in, even though it's, you know, the client is. So I've sometimes had clients go like, oh my God, I worked at this one. But there's a different connection then with the wisdom that comes out, which is what I find. There's a different ownership. If I'm saying, you know, well, this is the message that came through for me that I'm sharing with you is different than me saying, what creature came up for you and what was its message for you? You're going to remember that because it's coming out of your body. It's coming out of your experience.
So can, when you or I are doing a honey session, is this something that's cerebral or can I feel the energy?
You can feel the energy.
Okay.
Yeah, you can feel the energy, absolutely.
What type of reactions do people, does it feel hot, cold? Do they laugh, cry? Do they have everything? What kind of reactions do you
have? Yeah, it's kind of everything. It depends because, again, it almost depends on what cycle you're focusing on. So when I'm working with somebody with a honey energy healing, I will ask them a couple of questions about, you know, what's going on, what's going on in your life right now, what are some of the things that, you know, physically, how are you feeling? Like just to kind of get a sense of, you know, if somebody's got lower back pain, then, oh, well, maybe it's a support thing. It's a tribe thing. It's a root chakra thing. It's a Yule thing. And so if that's the case, then, you know, we'll be working with the honey of grounding and exploring that. And so, you know, there could be the emotions that come up connected with that, with the release of that, with the recognition of that. With the insights that come through on that. So there's certainly the sort of establishing where are we going to focus, and then deciding which of the honey spokes you're going to be working with.
Do you have a favorite cycle?
It's sort of a question for a Gemini. You know, it's like whatever cycle I'm in is my favorite cycle at the time. But I have to say, I do love Beltane. I was saying the other day, I was having a chat with, so that's cycle number four, which is all about union and partnerships and the weaving of the dance of other. And I was born in May, so I wonder sometimes too.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's that, we've got an affinity with the time of year that we're born. But yeah, I love that. And I think it's evident in some ways with the books. I love the weaving together of things which seem very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you do weave them together, what comes out of that can be just, you know, so absolutely gorgeous.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's so exciting about your book, and I really encourage our listeners to get it, to read it, is that those weavings should, like, I would read something in your book and it's like, oh yeah, I should know that. You know what I mean? Once you present, then it makes sense, and then I can't unlearn it. The horse has left the barn. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
but it's
right.
Things you didn't put together in words until you read your words. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's it's a lovely way of putting it as well. I often say, I'm not sure. I wouldn't ever say that I channeled a book, but I'm not quite sure that I wrote a book. It feels like I don't claim that there's anything new in what I put. But I think what I've done is kind of juxtaposed things that people know.
Differently that makes sense. And like I said, once you read it, it makes sense and you're like, oh, that's right. But so yeah, so I really enjoy books like yours that give words to maybe the thoughts that I had that I could not put into words.
Yeah, wonderful.
That's really exciting. So, and again, talk a little bit about your book. It has rituals. It has meditations. Talk about the different things in the cycle people will find. I mean, it's like I said, it's not a book you just sit down and you just read for fun. Although it's a fun book, there's a lot of things that you can do. You can, for me, when you can put as much as you want or as little as you want into this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really is something which, because I know that I've been doing this, that you can come back to again and again, year after year, because there's always a different layer of self that you are bringing to the exploration, which is, I think, what the gift of working with the cycle of the seasons is all about. We don't just go through a cycle once.
Right.
So, and again, that's a bit of a difference between the great work and the noble art. And in the great work, I was very careful, very attentive to making sure that whatever I talked about sort of in that section, then I have like journal prompts, personal reflections. So there's 365 questions. There's a question every day to invite that inner inquiry of like, how does this show up for me? Or what do I think about that? Or what has my experience been on that? So the great work is very much all of these questions where, again, the noble art is like, okay, now what do I do with this? How do I drop this down into a different type of an experience? And again, very alchemically informed, it's looking at the above and the below, and then how do these come together in the center of the wisdom? So in the noble art, for each of the spokes of the wheel of the year, there's the guided meditation, which is how we drop that down into the experience of the body. And I've started to record them. And those are on the website, the Soul Alchemist. There's links to it on the Hive and Grove website. So that, I'm so excited that I managed to wrangle technology enough to figure out how to record the guided meditations. Because I think it's lovely to for people to be able to just sort of sit back and drop
right.
into the experience of it. So there's the guided meditations, but then also there's the contemplations, which really it takes it to that higher mindfulness, that
right.
connecting it to the chakras and the hermetic principles and
right.
and so that feels different than dropping into the guided meditation. And then the third activity in each of the spokes, each of the cycles, is the ritual. And and so I give the detailed instructions on how to do the rituals. I'm also, you know, facilitating the rituals online, which I'll be doing a little bit later tonight, because that's where we embody it, right? Ritual is like creating that sacred space where we step into harmony and alignment with the divine and feel that within ourselves as well. And that's where we really can embody and enact the change, the transmutation, and stepping into that harmony of relationship with self. So you've got those three different ways of experiencing the energy of the cycle. And then at the end of the book, I've got all of the honey things. So again, that's a different way of experiencing the healing energy of the cycle of the year.
Well, I know we're going to end a little bit early, and I wanted to ask you just very quickly, what do you hope people will walk away from once they've read your book?
So I think really coming back to what we were talking about at the beginning, it's really just that hope that people can sort of love and accept and be in harmony and relationship with themselves in the same way that we are open and excited. And I'll go into the woods and maybe it might be a bit treacherous or a bit, you know, mucky or a bit, but I'm open to the experience. And how do we bring that to the experience of ourselves? How can we have like the language and the tools to navigate the dark within ourselves? You know, we can embrace the dark of the year. How can we embrace the dark of ourselves? And also, there's a lot of, I just see a lot of pathologizing the human experience. You know, that we're turning our discomfort into, I mean, there's a lot of pain, right? And so I'm hoping in this to, again, it doesn't take away the pain, but it doesn't wrong us for going through it. That we've got some tools, being supported by nature, being supported by some of these beautiful mythological faces to support us as we're going through, maybe understanding it and releasing it and changing our own experience of our own lives.
Well said.
So,
well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on our show to share about your new book, The Noble Art, From Shadow to Essence Through the Wheel of the Year. And again, you can purchase Tiffany's book at the Llewellyn website at www.llewellyn.com. Thank you so much, and good luck. And is there another book in production yet? Are you getting ideas for a next book?
There might be some scribblings which are happening.
All right.
There's things in the works.
We will let you head off the ritual. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay.
For more information,
remember,
you can go to Tiffany's website at www.hiveandgrove.ca. Besides Tiffany, I'd like to thank David and Jeanette, our sound engineers, for their technical expertise. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, February 15th. author Deborah D'Angelo will be discussing the ABCs of paganism. She's the author of Pagan Curious, A Beginner's Guide to Nature, Magic, and Spirituality. So please join us. It's going to be fun. I look forward to being with you all again. Everybody stay safe, stay warm, and please come back. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
The river is a story of ebb and flow, and the rains that come and go. The ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. A woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. Ebb and flow comes and goes, round in a circle, and don't you know, the river is a story of ebb and flow, and the rains that come and go. The ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. Woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. Ebb and flow comes and goes, round in a circle, and don't you know, the river is a story of ebb and flow, and the rains that come and go. The ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. A woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. Ebb and flow comes and goes, round in a circle, and don't you know, the river is a story of ebb and flow, and the rains that come and go. The ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. A woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. Ebb and flow comes and goes, round in a circle, and don't you know, the river is a story of ebb and flow, and the rains that come and go. The ocean is a story of ebb and flow, and the tides that come and go. Woman is a story of ebb and flow, and the moon that comes and goes. Ebb and flow comes and goes, round in a circle, and don't you know. Ebb and flow comes and goes, round in a circle, and don't you know.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.